There is this thing. Do you realize
what is?
There is this thing. Do you realize
our consciousness is affected?
There is this thing
on.
There is this thing going on.
What
do you realize
our consciousness is affected?
There is this thing going on.
What is called
the news brought to you live.
Welcome to Nolan's Legal Radio on Off the Hour, part of CKUT's Oakland Conspiracy for Social Change, 90.3 FM in Montreal, and www.ckut.ca on the web. Today, July 11th, 2006, marks the anniversary of the 1990 police invasion of the Mohawk territory of Kanazatage, popularly known as the Oka Crisis. So this month, No One's Legal Radio focuses on a few of the frontline struggles of Indigenous resistance in Canada. On today's show, we'll be hearing from Roberta Kisik. Roberta is a trapper, a grandmother, and a blockader against the clear-cut logging of the Grassy Narrows territory. The blockade at Grassy Narrows began in December 2002 and is the longest-standing Indigenous blockade in Canadian history. We'll also be hearing from Cantonetta Horn of Mohawk Nation News. She's also an elder from the Ganawagi Mohawk territory. Cantonetta will be reflecting on the July 11th anniversary of the police invasion at Kanazatage, the so-called Oka Crisis. Cantonetta, with her daughters, was directly involved in the resistance at Kanazatage. But coming up first, an interview with Hazel Hill of Six Nations. She's the spokesperson for the land reclamation near Caledonia, Ontario. Since February 28, 2006, Six Nations people and their supporters have blocked further construction on their land, saying they will stay until jurisdiction and title over their land is properly restored. This month's show is produced by members of No One's Legal in Montreal. No One's Legal in Montreal is part of a worldwide movement of resistance, fighting for justice and dignity and the right to self-determination for immigrants, refugees, Indigenous people. Our campaign is in public confrontation with the Canadian state, denouncing and taking action to combat racial profiling, detention and deportation, police and law enforcement brutality, exploitation and wage slavery conditions, as well as opposition to the displacement and genocide of Indigenous peoples on Turtle Island. Stay tuned. Welcome back. You're listening to No One's Legal Radio, part of the Open Conspiracy for Social Change on Off the Hour. We're at 90.3 FM in Montreal and at www.ckut.ca on the web. First off today, we'll be hearing an interview with Hazel Hill of Six Nations. Since February of 2006, the Six Nations people have set up camp on the Haldimand Tract, located at the entrance of Douglas Creek Estates, a 71-lot subdivision under construction by Henko Industries on Six Nations territory. Six Nations refers to the Six Nations that are part of a Haudenosaunee Confederacy, the Cayuga, the Mohawk, the Oneida, the Onondaga, the Seneca, and the Tuscarora. Since February of 2006, Six Nations people have blocked further construction by Henko Industries, saying they will stay until jurisdiction and title over their land is properly restored to the Haudenosaunee Confederacy. Since February until now, the land reclamation continues, And Mustafa Henaway, part of the No One's Legal Network, had an opportunity to talk with Hazel Hill of Six Nations. She's the spokesperson for the land reclamation near Caledonia, Ontario, who are blocking further construction by Henko Industries on their land, saying they will stay until jurisdiction is restored. We hear now from Hazel Hill, who will be reflecting on the land reclamation site, talking about the traditional confederacy, demanding nation-to-nation negotiation, reflecting also on 2 days, July 1st, so-called Canada Day, as well as today, July 11th, the anniversary of the police invasion at Kanizadage in 1990. We'll be hearing now from Hazel Hill.
Hazel, the first question I want to ask you is if you can give folks here in Montreal a current update on the situation that's taking place on the land reclamation on Six Nations territory.
Okay, sure. Currently, the people are still on the site, on the reclamation site, which we call Gunnestada, which means a protected place. The traditional delegation of people, some of the chiefs and clan mothers, some of our people that have been delegated from the site are still meeting on a weekly basis with delegates of the Crown, the federal and provincial delegates, Jane Stewart and Barbara McDougall, as well as other people within the government of Ontario and Canada. To try and resolve this situation through that peaceful negotiations. Currently, the situation has been very quiet. Like, we haven't had any problems with the Caledonia residents, which is good because, you know, it's never been about Caledonia. It's always been about our land and our sovereignty and you know, our nationhood. But last Wednesday, Judge Marshall held his court where he wanted everybody back in his chambers, and while the whole issue around the injunction has been set aside because the province has bought out Henko, they've put the land in trust. Now, whether that's all completely done, all that's done or not, but that's the promise that they've made. They're going to put it in trust at this point, buy out Henko. So the judge says the injunction is set aside now, but the process of upholding his law and ensuring that the contempt of court orders have to be upheld. So he's still trying to maintain authority. He's still trying to enforce his laws upon our people. And he's given 2 weeks a time frame for, I'm assuming, the OPP or whoever to fulfill his request that getting that contempt of court orders followed through. So I'm not really sure what's going to happen there. There's a big concern that, you know, that they may go ahead and try and do another raid or whatever. I don't really know what that means, but that's what the last words that he had put out, like I said, on Wednesday.
July 11th is going to be the 16th anniversary of the army invasion into Kanizadage. What does that mean right now for folks at Six Nations on the land reclamation? And what does that mean to you?
Yeah, I mean, we never forget that. And Kanizadage is a good example of why our people cannot trust the word of the government of Canada. Like, they promised the people of Kanizadage that, you know, that land, they put it in trust, okay? And they made all kinds of promises to the people there. And none of those promises have been followed through on. That trust, that whole issue of putting the land in trust, it still gives the province ownership over the land. And that's not what we're here for. We said we're maintaining our position on the land until the land is put back in the original title holders, and that would be our people. According to the original agreements, it's not about, you know, like the government of Canada has to remember that they are supposed to be honoring and upholding the Crown's responsibility with respect to the treaties, you know, with respect to the Royal Proclamation, like all of those things that they created to work with our people that's consistent with the Turo, the original agreement between our people and their people. So Kanizadage, again, is a good example of a lesson in our history that we always remember, so that when we are dealing with today's situation, it's been a teaching for us. It's a tool that we will use to not, you know, not be fooled by that Crown's representatives in Canada and accepting things that they use. And they're only words. It doesn't mean a thing. To them, they put all these things out on paper, and it doesn't mean a thing.
Just you spoke about the land being bought out by the Ontario government. What does that mean for many people? People thought, well, there's going to be a negotiated settlement now because the land was bought by the province. This, as you mentioned, it happened in Gunasatage. So what does that mean to people in Six Nations, that the land being purchased by the province?
Well, it doesn't mean a thing for our position. I mean, it hasn't done anything to the position of the people. In a sense, what the province did is buy stolen property, because all along we've said that land belongs to us. It was taken fraudulently. You know, the 1841 surrender is questionable. And so in order for them to, I know that they're looking at this as, and I don't know for sure if they're looking at this as a medium point. I'm looking at it as a medium point. It's like they put it in trust to get Henko out of the picture. I understand that. But it doesn't mean it's over for our people. It doesn't mean we get to go home and celebrate, because they have done nothing, like I said, to make sure that the land is given back to the Six Nations according to those original agreements. And that's the position of the people when we first came onto the land, and that's still a position to this day.
I want to ask a question about the negotiations and the struggle of Six Nations, but one of the great feats many people also saw through the land reclamation is the role the Confederacy has actually played within all of this, and the traditional forms of governance as well as the traditional forms of nation-to-nation negotiating. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about the Confederacy and the role that it's played in the negotiations, but as well as in the struggle in the land reclamation?
Sure, because what it is ultimately a resurgence of the traditional government, and it has been a great changing or a milestone for our people by that implementation, or not implementation, but like that resurgence of our traditional government. Like since the implementation of the Indian Act Band Council, like in 1924, and prior to that when they, force those laws upon our people, it has silenced that process of our people having a voice. And so with this whole land reclamation and the reinstatement of our traditional council and having them on that nation-to-nation discussions with the Crown again, it has been a great, I don't know how to say that, but it's been... We've already accomplished some great things here, and that's one of them. And that process, again, it allows for the voice of the people to be heard. Prior, you know, anything that is a form of so-called democracy of Canada is only a form of unilateral decisions being made by individuals, and taking away from the true intent of the law, which is to give the voice to the people. And so our Gainalagoa is being upheld, and it's being ricocheted effect throughout Ojibwe nations all across the world, because they can see that that traditional voice, that the upholdance of the great law, that reinstatement of that peace, and see the rippling of effect that it's having everywhere. And so with that's been a major thing, and the timing of it is consistent with a lot of prophecies. The Ojibwe people are very excited, and they can see that this can only mean good things for our people, and so it's I think it all has to do with timing. But like I say, with the traditional council, with the clan mothers, especially the women and the clan mothers asserting their authority over the land and reminding the world that, hey, we have a responsibility and we have a voice, and taking that responsibility, that step by taking back that land and telling Canada that enough is enough. And it's not just that little piece of land that what we call Gunnestada now, that everybody knows as Douglas Creeks. It's about the whole Turtle Island, if you will, and the responsibility of the people and the women to ensure that that's been being protected. You know, if it's left in the hands of Canada, that there'll be nothing. It's already been violated. It's been raped of all its the resources. The land has been clear cut. It continues to in other areas such as Grassy Narrows. They've got their own problems there right now. Some of our people have gone to support them because of it. So, like, it's been something that I think that the Ojibwe people have a responsibility to the rest of the world, and that is to ensure that we do have a future, to ensure that the land is protected in whatever ways that we can. And that's something that the band councils and those elective systems haven't been upholding. They've been bought into just kind of like doing what the federal and provincial governments tell them to do, so that revamping of the traditional council is an important element of the future for our people. And I know that it's being fully supported worldwide.
And you talked about that support that's been that worldwide, and one of the other kind of markers that just happened, a day that just passed, which is obviously Canada Day on July the 1st. And I mean, for many people, for people at Six Nations, for the people to Turtle Island, it means something completely different than what is talked about in the media, what is celebrated. It's a completely different day. It's not a day of celebration for the people at Six Nations. But do you feel that there's support? Because one of the things that the government has tried to use, and it's used time and time again as well, there's these concerned citizens that feel that the situation's unlawful, or there's that there's support for government action to end the blockade, to end the land reclamation. But do you, has there been support for the people at Six Nations and for your struggle for your land and sovereignty?
Absolutely. I don't think that the support that, that has been with us since the beginning has gone anywhere. I think that it's the intent of the government to create situations that causes our supporters or even our own people to question the validity of our claim, or to question the position of the people. And a good example of that, like you said, is the Citizens Alliance that had been created to peg us as the militant warriors or the terrorists, and the media and how it's been manipulated to promote that terroristic attitude to the rest of the world. And even though that those attempts have been made, the support of our people is still, like I said, it's all across the world. One of the main objectives of Canada is to undermine that role of the traditional people, that you know, and the role of the women related to the to our responsibilities under that Guy Lagoa. The biggest fear is what's happening here at Six Nations, and they're going to do everything in their power to undermine that. They're going to do everything in their power, including create diversions, like you said, create situations where we're made to be looked at as terrorists, so that you know, it's easier to threaten with jail. It's easier to threaten with, like, to do all of these things than it is to uphold the law and to be to uphold the truth of creation. You know, Canada doesn't exist. Their whole celebration of July 1st is a facade, because what are they celebrating? They're celebrating the fact that they've violated the laws of creation, that their whole so-called country is built on the backs of and blood of our ancestors. You know, they've got their land from stolen land. You know, their language is a borrowed language. We said it before. Their constitution is a constitution act. They have no country. They have no constitution. Everything that they have is a fraud. And again, it's like it's a copy of the truth, and their truth is. The truth is what comes from that great law and what was given to our people, and the responsibilities, like I said, that our people have in upholding that.
One last question I want to ask you, Hazel, is that also, I mean, a responsibility for those outside the traditional people and the Indigenous people to support the struggles at Six Nations, but other Indigenous struggles across Turtle Island. What can people do to support what's taking place at Six Nations right now?
Well, they can continue with the letters of support. They continue putting pressure on Canada to deal responsibly, to not let this be shoved under the table like it always is in any other situation. When things quiet down, or when they hope that everybody's got their eyes turned away, then they're going to come in and try something different. Continually putting the pressure on, continually sending out those messages of support. You know, just stay in communication and that type of thing, because it helps with the morale of the people. You know, it to know that there's the supporters out there, and I think that's the biggest overall one way to support is to continually, like, don't let it die away from the forefront, because it is a major issue that impacts the whole world. It's not just something that impacts Grand River Territory here at Six Nations.
Thank you very much, Hazel, for coming on No One Is Illegal Radio on CKUT 90.3.
You're welcome. Thanks for hearing me.